Quat Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
How many of you are struggling with hiring people to man your companies? How many feel like, oh, if I could have only hired someone with this skill, but I got someone with this skill instead? The job market is crazy, and it's just like people are switching from job to job to job because there's so much opportunity. But where is the longevity? Well, my guest today is Brett Billups, and he wrote the book Biblical HR. He's been in HR for 25 to 30 years, and he started the company Biblical HR about a year ago to help people try to sift through what they're facing as Christian entrepreneurs. Brett, welcome to Encounter.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's nice to have you here because I know there's some people that are in HR that are going, oh, we really need to listen to this show today on Encounter. So let's get started. You, first of all, wrote the book Biblical HR, Using Godly Principles in the Everyday Workplace, which is kind of hard to do these days, isn't it?
It is. And that's where I was struggling as well. I was struggling about 8 or 10 years ago about how to apply my faith with my work. And I would walk out of Sunday morning worship feeling wonderful, having listened to wonderful teaching, wonderful worship, but then dreading going to work the next morning. And I started reading on how to fill the gap between Sunday and Monday. And I could find a lot of high-level theology of work, Christian business strategies type of material, really good material, and by authors that were people I respect. But I couldn't find anything to help in the day-to-day trenches of that work. And so I started writing. I started writing for my own edification to help me deal with a difficult boss, help me deal with a poor performer, how to help me deal with how to conduct an interview from a biblical perspective. And so I started writing using passages of scripture, pulling out the biblical principles and writing out action steps to take before, during, and after any of those situations.
Now, that's a way to do it, isn't it? Because when you start to write about something, God always shows up and gives you more things to think about on that topic, doesn't he? And puts your brain farther to work.
He does. And it's one of those that, you know, when you're teaching, you have to call out some material, but you always glean more yourself than what you're giving.
So what kind of things did you find, and what are some of the chapters in your book? And we can talk a little bit about maybe the most favorite ones of those chapters that you wrote.
Sure. Some of the things that I found out, and the most important thing that we need to remember, and this is something that I didn't really realize until I started getting a little bit deeper, is that we were designed and created to operate by biblical principles. We just were. I mean, that's how God designed and created us. And biblical principles work in our lives, and they work even in our workplaces. A lot of times we have abdicated some of that responsibility to corporate policies, procedures, even corporate agendas. But biblical principles shine in the workplace, and that's the major thing that we need to remember and have faith and confidence and courage to do that.
That is true. Give us an example of one of the most challenging things you had to do as an HR director, but when you used biblical principles, God worked it out.
I'll give you a couple of examples, one good one and one bad one. A good one would be that I had a situation pretty early in my HR career where a general manager was actually having an affair with an hourly employee. Those kind of situations and investigations are very sensitive and very touchy. And you have to move your chess pieces in the right way or it could all fall apart. So following biblical principles and just taking a step back and investigating one step at a time, but still holding people accountable to what they heard, what they learned, and pursuing in that direction led me to the truth. So it turned out that the situation was true, but unfortunately, the president of the organization didn't feel the need to terminate the individual, where the president and the general manager actually lost credibility. But still, going through biblical principles actually helped me ascertain the truth. And I've had that happen in several situations as I've gone through my career. The biggest regret that I have in my HR career was that when I was with Kraft Foods, we had an individual who was in the cafeteria of our pizza manufacturing plant. We had bunkers of damaged pizzas that people could pull out and use for their lunches. And they were free. An individual was actually taking some of those pizzas home, which was actually a violation of policy and considered theft. Well, this individual had had a stroke a few years earlier, and he had difficulty maintaining employment, had difficulty with complex situations, was grateful for the job. And when I confronted him with this situation, he admitted it and apologized profusely, but I still terminated him. And if I had just taken a step back, shown some grace and mercy in that situation, explained the process to him, it would have rectified himself. And he came back a few days later, asking me to reconsider, that his family thought it was too harsh, but I held firm. So if I had applied biblical principles in that situation, a good employee who was grateful for the job would have maintained employment, and we would have kept a good employee. So those are two examples.
A loyal employee who really didn't want to do things wrong, just needed a little explanation. You know, one of the, I just took a course in drugs and alcohol in the workplace, and I was shocked by the statistics that were in this course. How do you work as an HR director with someone who is on drugs? You know, they say 14 million people are on drugs or alcohol who are working in the workplace in the United States. That's a large amount, a huge cost to a company, and a huge cost to the United States itself for treatment and reinstation.
Yes, it is, and there's a couple of things that you need to follow. Most organizations have drug-free workplace policies. So if there is some kind of suspicion that you are either under the influence or have taken drugs in the workplace, there are policies that the organization have in place that they can submit you to a drug test, send you home, pending the results of the drug test. The other situation is there's a lot of companies that have safety-related situations where there's a requirement that if you're operating any kind of heavy machinery under the influence of drugs, that's immediate termination. And there's also places that if individuals are not under the influence at work, but they still have a problem, there are employee assistance plans that a lot of companies have in their benefits program that can get them the right help and counseling to recover from those.
What tips do you give those HR directors as they are grappling with whether they keep the same policies or adjust those policies to line up with biblical principles?
I think it is a lot of the policies and procedures that we have in organizations they actually align with biblical principles. So if they align with biblical principles, I think those are the kind of policies that you need to keep. And for example, thou shalt not steal the ... time and money from the organization. So that's an easy one. Thou shalt not falsify your time cards. Those are situations that are fairly easy. Others that don't fall within the realm of biblical ethics, if it maintains productivity within the organization, I think those are, or if it inhibits productivity within an organization, those are things that you need to look at. But I think the first is not compromise any of biblical ethics, to have a policy.
Brett Phillips has been in management in HR for the past 30 years, and he wrote the book Biblical HR. How can people get a copy of your book?
It will be formally launched on all of your favorite booksellers April the 19th. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and all of the national booksellers. Also, you can also go to my website, biblicalhr.com. And if you do that in order from me, I will send you a signed copy.
Great. Brett, what else is on your heart that you'd like to talk about today?
The major thing that I want to communicate to individuals is that you can apply your faith. You can apply your faith to the workplace. And a lot of times, we as Christians just have not had a resource to be able to do that. It's just been, there's been a gap of how to put myself in the right mindset to deal with a problem employee, to deal with a sexual harassment issue, to deal with an interview from a biblical perspective, and to give people a resource with action steps to put them in the right biblical mindset. That's my hope and desire, is that it gives Christians at any level, in any workplace, the courage and the confidence to apply their faith to specific workplace situations.
Brett Phillips has been my guest. Biblical HR is the name of his book, How to Apply Biblical Principles in the Workplace. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, your website?
BiblicalHR.com.
I'm Judy Rudlick. Brett Phillips is my guest. Biblical HR, applying eternal truth to everyday work. We're going to be right back. Brett, would you join me after the break?
I absolutely will. Thank you.
All right. We're going to talk about diversity in the workplace, how to find good employees, and Brett's favorite chapter. So please stay tuned. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlick.com or email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. Brett Phillips is my guest. We're talking about HR, like how do you find a good employee in this new tenor of our workplace situations with people working at home and people working on the job and some splitting it. And then we're going to talk about diversity in the workplace. And because Brett wrote the book Biblical HR, we'll learn what his favorite chapters are. And then you can order a copy of his book and read it. I'm Judy Rudlick. Brett Phillips is my guest. He's been in HR for the past 30 years. Thank you for joining me again.
Thank you, Judy. Appreciate it.
So let's talk about those employees out there that are just waiting to be called, or why are there so many help wanted signs out if they're waiting to be put to work?
Well, Judy, the last couple of years has been an eye-opener for a lot of people. When people started working from home, the pandemic started, people started enjoying the flexibility. They started enjoying the time that they had with their family and the flexible schedules. And they also started reevaluating their priorities. And coupled with the fact that people started having less and less desire to deal with toxic workplaces, toxic bosses, unreasonable expectations. That coupled with the pandemic, people started leaving organizations and trying to find something better. So how do we find and keep good people now? So I think the first thing that we need to do as organizations, even as leaders or managers, is to take a really hard look at ourselves and our organization. With people having a desire to not work in toxic workplaces anymore, the number one thing we need to do is evaluate where is our maximum amount of turnover happening and why. Is it because we are our compensation structure is out of whack, or do we have leaders, supervisors, and coworkers actually who are running people off and the culture is to the point where people don't want to work there? The first thing we need to do is clean our own house first. That's the first thing we need to do. And the way to do that is look at your turnover statistics and drill down, ask questions, and find out why and fix that. The second thing that we're going to need to do is improve and look at things totally different now. No longer are the days where you post a job, have a few interviews, and people start 2 weeks later. That's not the case anymore. I think what we're going to have to do going forward and to crack this nut is look for people who have the minimum qualifications for the role or the potential to have the emotional and the intellectual capacity and potential to learn the skills. And then we grow people up in our organization. I think we're going to have to start growing people up in our organizations in order to reduce turnover and find good people. And when you would start investing in people, both professionally and personally, those are the organizations that people want to join and stay with.
When you grow someone up in an organization, that implies that you're saying start them when you're young. But what if those people are 60 and 63 and 64 years old? How do you relate to starting them in your culture of maybe hiring them if they lost their job through the pandemic?
No different. I mean, people can learn new skills or have the potential to learn your organization at any age. It's godly character and godly potential has no age. I mean, that's what you look for. You look for people who have a teachable heart, who have that capacity to learn within your organization, and you bring them in and grow them. It doesn't matter whether they're fresh out of high school or they're 60 years old.
So you look at the heart.
You look at the heart. You invest in the heart. That's what you hire, the heart, not the qualifications.
What about diversity in the workplace?
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, you have to remember, too, that diversity is a beautiful thing. Revelation 7 talks about people of all tribes and nations that are worshiping Christ at his throne. And so God created diversity, and it even will extend into eternity. So that's a major thing that we need to remember. The trouble is that when we start to find our identity in our differences, that causes division and not unification. When we start looking at our race or gender or even gender identification, when we start looking at what makes us different to identify us, the enemy just uses that to cause more division.
So what tips do you give HR directors as they're looking at diversity?
The major thing that they can do is just remember, Christ is the only unifier. And in the case of gender identification, that's the toughest one that we have to deal with right now because it's an ever-moving target. And I listened to a a video just recently where there was an individual who listed off about 10 or 15 different gender identifications that they identified with, and some of them sounded even self-made. So it's a target that no one will ever hit because it ever increases. And the only thing that we can do as a Christian in the workplace, we have two options. We use gender-neutral pronouns, or we take a stand and say, no, we're not going to do that. Now, that takes a different person to be able to do that, but that is those are the only two options. We can't sacrifice God's creative order in order to appease those different diversity gender identification. From a workplace diversity standpoint, as far as race, I would recommend creating one diversity council rather than having different diversity councils for each different race, because that's also just continues to create division and compete for funding. So one diversity council, I would recommend that. But there may come a time where you have to take a stand at some point. But the major thing to remember is we don't get our identity in how different we are. Christ is the only unifier. And remember, our identity is who we are in Christ.
I've been talking with Brett Phillips, and he wrote the book Biblical HR. Now, what was your favorite chapter to write in that book, Brett?
I think one of my favorite chapters was the last one that I wrote on conflict resolution, because it really opened my eyes to how we deal with conflict. And I learned a couple of things, is that not every conflict is going to be resolved, and we have to be able to live with unresolved conflict. Now, when I say that, we're still to pursue reconciliation and resolution of conflict with everyone as a Christian. We're still, but as long as is it, but as up to us, we are to pursue as long as it is up to us without compromising God's truth. So if we get to the point where we can't compromise God's truth anymore or biblical truth anymore, then we have to abandon any kind of reconciliation, and we have to be able to live with that. Secondarily, when you're trying to mediate conflict between two people, don't take that on. Don't feel like, okay, I can solve this with all my experience and just use biblical values and biblical principles to resolve this conflict. They'll want to resolve that. No, don't take that on. That's responsibility of the parties involved to do that. And I'll tell you a quick story. I knew a divisional vice president for a public company. And he had a conflict with one of his coworkers, another divisional vice president. And the animosity between the two was very well known, and it was impacting the department's productivity, each of their department's productivity. The president of the division called a meeting with them on 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. They walked in. There was a fresh pot of coffee sitting on a conference table, and he told them, I want you to have your conflicts resolved by the time that pot of coffee is done, or I will resolve them in my own way. And after a few minutes, they looked at each other and said, we got the message. He smiled, and they turned around and left. He put that responsibility in their laps, and they resolved the issue. That's probably my favorite chapter that I wrote, and it's probably the last one that I wrote, because I learned a lot.
Isn't it amazing how when you start writing, God shows you just tons of things that you never thought you'd know before?
Absolutely. And the more you study, the more you learn.
What are some tips for employees looking for the right position?
The major thing that I would recommend is continue to network, use your network. And the services that are out there, online services, they are designed for certain populations of employment. For example, LinkedIn is more professional type of network. Indeed, it has a lot of hourly warehouse jobs, and so does ZipRecruiter as well. But also, your new job is to find a new job. So be strategic about where you want to work and ensure that they align with your biblical values.
How can people get a copy of your book?
It is available on any of your favorite bookseller sites as of April 19th, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, or if you go directly to biblicalhr.com and order it from there, I will send you a signed copy.
Great. And the whole name of the book with the subtitle is?
Biblical HR, Applying Eternal Truths to Everyday Work.
By Brett Billups. Good stuff. And you heard about it right here on Bot Radio Network. I'm Judy Rudlick. Thanks so much for joining me. And thanks, Brett, so much for the advice you gave today to our listeners. And we pray that
Thank you, Judy.
God will use this advice in your workplace. Okay, sweetheart, I've turned on the nightlight, and here's Teddy.
Grandma, I love it when you tuck me in. You're my best friend. Don't ever leave me. I love you.
Electronic Caregiver helps seniors maintain independence and safety at home with their medical alert system. The smart wristband provides telehealth, medication reminders, and personalized messages. If an emergency occurs, loved ones can call for help by pushing the button. More information from Cheryl Wilson at 314-312-0034.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyrudlick.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyrudlickspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. Encounter, hosted by Judy Rudlick, was produced and first aired on KSIV Radio, part of their Bot Radio Network.